Thanks for coming through, bro.
No worries, man. I'm excited to be here. I'm a big fan. As much as I'm your friend, I watch all the podcast episodes. And
if y'all don't know, this guy, he's one of the original creators in my area.
Thank you.
Like, dead ass. This guy, he literally put on kind of for like the local creators. No one really did anything until you did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd like to like at least take it back for a second and say that the person who inspired me was Aiden Smith. You ever seen Neurotic Gomi?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was like the original.
Word.
Aiden, like since, I don't even know, 2010, this guy's always the first one on everything. Mm-hmm. Any trend that comes up, he's been on it. Years
word, before. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
When I used to hang out with him, he was like just starting his clothing mm-hmm. with the vinyl printing and whatnot.
Yeah, that's
and
what it is. Like, so there's always yeah. someone that inspires another.
No, right? For sure. But he's like the original of the original.
Yeah, so I yeah can't okay, even okay.
take credit for it.
Like, I guess, yeah.
I gave out some sauce, of mm-hmm. course, but like I got it all from him at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, he taught me how to do what I do. And yeah, without him, there's a lot of people I could credit for.
Not for sure, for sure. Because it always goes, it's like a chain, man. It's like a chain reaction. Like, one person does something,
yeah.
another person sees what they did.
No, for sure.
And it just so happens, like, the network, right? Because yeah. I'm more friends with you than I didn't know him, right?
Yeah.
So it just so happens, like, you inspired me, I inspire someone else,
and they
inspire
circle.
Yeah, it comes back yeah.
around. Because if you're doing well, I'm doing well in a sense, and mm-hmm. vice versa. Like, if someone starts popping in your circle, mm-hmm. you're gonna hope that that they take you with them. But
yeah. So talk about the clothing brand, bro. Like, a lot of people want to start a clothing brand, but not a lot of people know kind of like what direction they want to go into, and they don't know like how exactly they want to proceed.
Yeah, you
know
what I mean? Well, I think rule of thumb, like, off rip, you gotta actually have a passion for it.
Yeah, that's facts.
A lot of people that go into it expecting like, oh, riches off the start, and like girls, they want attention for it.
I know.
Like, when I started the brand, I genuinely wanted to do something with clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I started originally just by printing for other people, mm-hmm. but I'll tell you the story of jet lag, the origin. So
let's hear.
As I said before, Aiden taught me how to do everything.
Yeah,
and I was printing for people at the time, and it was around whenever university applications go out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to take a gap year because I'm not really a school person.
Yeah, yeah.
I do want to go back eventually. I think I'm going back for graphic design, but that aside, I wanted to have like my own merch. Everyone's going off to school getting their like Queens hoodies.
Yeah, yeah.
Hoodies, and I had nothing to rock, you know?
Oh, that's so true.
I'm not going anywhere. So I wanted like that sense of belonging.
Yeah, because Jet's first piece was a Jet Lag University hoodie. It said Jet Lag University.
Yeah, and so it kind of like, it was a joke between me and I think Aiden was there when I made it. Mm-hmm. Well, it took me 4 days to design it.
Yeah.
It's a shitty design. Super basic, but like until I was really happy with the product,
mm-hmm.
I didn't use it. So anyways, I printed it on a couple of hoodies for like me and my friends. I posted a picture on my story, like Jet Lag University, like taking applications, whatever.
Yeah.
And people wanted to buy it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that's weird. I might as well do something with this, you know?
Mm. You see, that's how it all starts. Like,
yeah.
It's just an idea, and then you go off the idea.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they have ideas, mm-hmm. but they don't go through with it. And that's what's really holding them back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you got to put one foot in front of the other to start walking.
Exactly.
And a lot of people, they just think like, okay, one foot, like I'll think about it. Mm-hmm. Never really take the step.
Yeah. Because there's so many great ideas that never came to fruition.
Yeah. You
know what I mean?
Hear people tell you about these ideas.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's stopping you from actually going out and doing it? Because that would be dope.
And then you have those mans, like, they'll just take your idea. You know what I mean?
Your idea.
They'll take it and we'll run with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
That's the game, though.
Yeah.
That's really the game.
You were talking about it, like being a thief in a fashion sense, or like stealing the right way.
I preach it because that's a reality of art. Kind of the reality of like the industry.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
no, it all comes back down to like people at least taking inspiration.
Yeah,
there's obviously people that take direct pieces. I think Virgil got like
okay, that's. Because I don't,
not,
yeah,
I'm not
yeah,
a
yeah,
hater
yeah.
though. I'm not a hater though.
Yeah,
I think Virgil's a genius. I mean, you see the stuff he did with the Truman Show.
Oh yeah, that was dope. That was dope.
Spring summer,
mm-hmm, with the Louis V.
Yeah, yeah, he walked down from the staircase, and if you've seen the Truman Show, it's about like his life is on camera as Virgil's is, and he's kind of like running the game. He's manipulating it as much as he thinks he's like a part of it. He's really like,
yeah, in the Truman Show, it was pretty much he was living in a simulation.
He was living in a simulation, but like he pulls the strings, or the people above him pull the strings. So I think Virgil was really saying that
other people
was the puppet master.
Oh shit, that's a good theory.
And you know, everyone will buy what he sells.
Yeah, that's facts.
Realistically, he could sneeze on a leaf and like put it out for 50k.
Nah, that's real shit.
Yeah,
because I always preach to like, it's all with the marketing, man.
Yeah.
It's all with the marketing.
Definitely.
I forgot who said it, but it's not who you know.
Yeah,
it's not what you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's who knows you.
Yeah. Whoa. Hold up, let me get a Straight. I pressed the button there. Straight up, bro. That's so true. But I think networking is so important.
Yeah.
But again, it's not about who you know, because you know you can know a lot of people and none of them will be doing anything.
Exactly. You, right? you can know all these people, but if those people don't know you or know what you can do, then it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, introducing the right people to each other as well.
Exactly. So that's why it's so important. Yeah. You can be the greatest, let's say, artist in the world, greatest painter in the world.
Yeah.
But if no one knows you're the greatest painter in the world, what is it worth?
There's a lot of underrated people as well.
Yeah, exactly. So like, that's my point.
Amazing artists that never get their chance to shine. And that's like kind of what I like to do with Jetlag. It's become more of a community where I want like to use my, I want to say influence. I only have like 600 followers at the time, but the people that follow me are like pretty loyal to the account, you know? So I want to take that influence and kind of help branch off into different regions. Like I did music with Mad Season. I have a bunch of artists working with me right now, but it's like introducing them to each other is so important because they make these connections that just keep pushing them forward.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. This is what I see from the, from the outside in.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me.
Cause I see you like to keep it very underground. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, what do you mean follower wise? Like,
yeah, like you try to keep it like word of mouth type of thing, you know?
No, that's my goal. I don't ever want it to be like a hyped up item.
Now, one thing I have for you, you might want to take in consideration.
Definitely.
What if you make another brand?
A second one?
And then you make that one, the one you promote like that.
Like hype? I don't know. See, the thing is like the brand is so personal to me.
Yeah.
And it's become so much more than a clothing brand.
Mm-hmm.
To where it's like, I think the Jetlag digital name kind of just overhangs with any venture.
Anything you do now?
Yeah. Like I do photography for certain brands.
True. Yeah.
Release clothing. And again, the music label, it's all under Jetlag digital or Jetlag. Mm-hmm.
But bro, don't close it off. Cause always stay open. Cause look. I think it was Virgil that said it. He said, you don't just have one brand in you.
No.
You have many different projects, different ideas that can go into different fields, right?
For sure.
So you have Jetlag. Amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, what if you can take parts of that into a new brand?
Yeah.
Or something completely different and grow off of that and maybe success from that
comes back
to Jetlag. No, you know what I mean?
I think about it all the time. I spend a lot of my days like on my computer designing or creating something. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll make a design and I'm like, I can't use this with the brand.
Yeah.
It just doesn't line up. But I have other stuff in the works. It just comes back down to money and funding for it. Because the Jetlag drops, like they're high quality pieces.
Yeah.
It costs a lot to release. Mm-hmm. That's what people don't understand when they're asking like, do this, do that. Like they want weekly releases. But
that's facts. Yeah.
It costs not more than I make off of it, but all of my money from the drops go like right back into it.
That's a very smart way to do it because you always invest back in. Yeah. If you want to build your brand, invest back into the company. Don't spend that money on PS5. You know what I mean? Don't spend that money on shit. Like,
I see people that run brands and they're coming to me like, oh, my business is failing. You made $500 and you bought a Gucci belt.
A lie. That's why.
That's why, bro. Who cares if you have a Gucci belt, bro? Drop again.
Exactly.
You see so much potential in these brands that just don't put their money in the right places. And in no way am I saying I'm like a financial genius.
Mm-hmm. It's like kind of shooting yourself in the foot. It's like you're getting this asset and then you're just giving it away.
Yeah.
Because like, let's look at like a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Like he'll drop a song.
Yeah.
Do millions,
take that money,
and then cop a big ass chain that costs a million. You know what I mean? Well, so that half of that money he made is in this chain.
No, for sure. Well, how do you feel about that? Because I feel like if I get to a point where I get fuck you money, I won't spend it on a chain. I won't spend it on a supercar.
Mm.
Like my dream car is an Aztec. You know the one that Walter drives from Breaking Bad?
Oh yeah,
that's my dream car. All I want. Yeah? It's like $2,000. So
word.
Like, once I get that, I'm gonna sit with it forever. I don't want a massive house. Like if anything, I'd want to put my money in other regions. But like, well, how do you feel about it?
Okay, for me, I take inspiration from Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart always, he doesn't use his full income.
Really?
So he lives off, let's say he makes 2 million.
Yeah.
Like back then, let's say he made 2 million. He would only live off like 400,000.
Right.
Let's say he only made 300,000. He would only live by 100,000.
Right.
Where did all the other money go?
Savings.
Investments.
Right.
Make your money work for you.
That's another thing. Well, recently one like investment that I've been into.
Yeah.
I used to be in crypto, but like I got out before it popped.
I got out with
profits, of course,
but
it could have been worth a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I did have left over was Ethereum.
Yeah. Ethereum's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's going crazy right now. But I don't want to invest in like stocks or like crypto in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in NFTs now. So that's
like digital art. I'm looking at that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can release my own at this point. I think I'm putting out applications for certain sites because I think if you digitalize the photos I take, maybe people will buy them.
Yeah.
You see like Stickmen going for 50K.
That's facts. Well, what's it called? It's like CryptoPunks or something?
Something like that. They're like collectibles, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Crypto kitties as well, huh?
Yeah. It's not even like fine art. It's just like, it's just like art. You know,
it's just art. Well, I saw one piece. It was like $400 for a pink canvas, literally just all pink. I don't know why, but I just wanted it so bad. And I mean, people are offering for it. I still haven't bought it. Like, I keep getting outbid for it, and it's literally just a pink screen. So I feel like it's a market that can be manipulated as well. Mm-hmm. If you're smart and you're an artist and you have content that you do want to make money off of, like, definitely give NFTs a try.
I'd say. For sure. I'm looking a lot into like the UFC NFTs.
I've never seen those.
So UFC, you know the Top Shot one, NBA Top Shot?
Okay, kind of like cards.
Oh, you don't know Top Shot?
No, I don't know Top Shot.
Yo, this is like the biggest NFT fam.
I don't pay attention to those. I like to buy art, but go ahead. Okay. I'm new to it.
So NBA Top Shot is pretty much like video clips or highlights in the NBA.
Right. I heard of this.
And it's pretty much like collecting sports cards, but it's a highlight video.
It's the clips, right?
Yeah. So you'll get like a LeBron dunk that will go for like $58,000.
And it's like the one person that has that clip. I think I saw someone on TikTok talking about
it. Yeah. Right? And there's like, it's very, very limited. Mm-hmm. Like the packs sell out like that. It's like a sneaker drop.
No, exactly. I've seen like certain things like that, but it's so hard to like not have the same clip as someone else. How do they manage that?
I think what it is, it's kind of, they just limit it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just limit like exactly how much you can make. And I think it comes with like a certificate, blah, blah, blah. You know how it goes.
That's cool though. That's such a cool idea. Like even just having clips, like you own the clip. One person I saw using NFTs in that sense was Eric DOA. I don't know if you know about him. He's kind of underground, but he has that I don't know what I'd call it, drain sound, like that hyper pop sound.
Yeah.
Anyways, he put his cover art. So you can own the cover art through OpenSea, which is just a platform that sells NFTs. So there are bids on it now, I believe. And that's just something I thought that was super smart.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's going to be the future. Not necessarily like just art, but imagine we do that with like game pieces.
Yeah.
You know, like imagine Fortnite skins, bro.
I have hella of them, bro. It's bad to say, but I spent so much money on Fortnite, like, even when I didn't play it.
Like imagine Fortnite skins became like limited.
Well, they are in certain skins are limited. Or they used to be. The Skull Trooper used to be limited.
Oh, because only the OGs could get it.
Only the OGs. Yeah. I think you had to. It was like Halloween first season. And I don't even play Fortnite like that. I just, every time I hop on, I see these skins and I'm such like nerd for visuals. I'm like, all right, it's $10.
Yeah. Now imagine there's a marketplace for that shit.
There is.
Is there?
Kind of underground.
No way.
People used to sell Skull Trooper accounts until.
Accounts
with the skins.
But that's different. That's different. You ever watch Ready Player One?
Yes, I have. I don't remember 100%, but they had like skins that they could change into.
Right? Yeah. So in Ready Player One, every like piece they have, you can get like a DeLorean from Back to the Future. Yeah. You can get like the Akira bike, blah, 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 like clothing, whatever. They all pay for it. Yeah. And it's all like limited pieces, like one of ones, whatever. So imagine in a video game, let's say whatever the new video, let's say GTA.
VR.
Let's just say the newest GTA, right? And everybody's playing it. Yeah. You would want to have something different from everyone else.
Oh, for sure. If you're a flexer, you need that.
Exactly. One piece. And I can see like all of these rappers, all of these people that have lots of money, they'll flex on you with shit in the game. You know what I mean?
No, for sure. Well, one thing you said, and I think it was the episode with RJ, why are these rappers buying chains, iced out chains?
Like, yeah.
I want to see someone with King Tut's crown on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's so much harder. And it's an asset that will grow with time. Mm-hmm. Whereas your chain, it gets snatched off your neck and you get clowned for it. Like, if it's gonna get snatched, at least make it like some crazy piece.
Exactly, bro. Like, there's so much shit out there that we don't even know yet. Like, something can be a trend, but we just don't see it yet, and then explode, right?
Yeah. Well, and there's always one person that's saying like, this is the future.
Yeah. And there's always
until there's a crowd or like people echoing that message, people don't believe it. Like, even back to the NFTs, crypto kitties, I think 3 or 4 years ago I saw people posting about it and I'm like,
word, you saw that?
Yeah, they're saying hop on because you could use referral links at the time, I believe. So saying hop on, blah, 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 breed these digital cats.
Word.
And you can sell them, and now some are going for like $120,000, right?
Yeah.
So if you're really in at the beginning, but of course looking back on it, kind of smart to be skeptical.
Yeah.
Anything can pop. So
you ever hear about the Bitcoin theory?
Tell me about the Bitcoin theory, bro.
So Elon Musk, right? Elon Musk is pushing for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And there's this conspiracy. I don't know if this is true, mm-hmm. but there's this conspiracy that the big reps in the world mm-hmm. are really pushing for Bitcoin because they're going to use a universal currency.
Right. I believe it. I mean, Bitcoin is like one of the currencies that could mm-hmm. definitely be the overall.
And you know why they need a universal currency?
Why is that?
Because they want a new world order.
Oh, so they're going to
control. All under the same.
Right. If you have one currency.
You have one currency. You can control everyone. To get it. Everyone.
So are we allowing? Do we want that?
Yo, like, do we have a choice?
We don't really have a choice. If they say you have to use Bitcoin, you're going to use Bitcoin.
It's not even like they have to say it. It's just if they use it, they use it. You know what I mean? Like they can change what we use without telling us.
No, for sure.
Like they get just one day, like that dollar doesn't work anymore. We're using this shit.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Same with the pennies.
Yeah, exactly. Remember that episode in Recess where they're trading like stickers?
Watched. No, tell me about it. I briefly watched Recess.
Okay, so in Recess, pretty much what it was, like, they used to have these stickers, mm-hmm. and they would trade stickers as money. Like, it was kind of like
currency.
Yeah, it was stickers? Like their playground currency. Oh my God, yeah. And then, what's his name? TJ Detweiler.
Okay.
He worked, like, so hard. He finessed it. He was so broke before. He had, like, no stickers. Yeah. Because I think he had, like, a sick day or some shit. So he didn't come to school. Yeah. He didn't come to school on the day, like, stickers popped off.
Yeah.
And then when he came back, everyone's using stickers. And he's like, I can't even drink from the water fountain. They're charging me stickers.
Oh, they're charging
me
stickers?
Yeah.
That's fun.
So what happened was he grinded and grinded and grinded. Mm-hmm. And then he pretty much like bought all of the stickers in the playground.
Wow.
And then what happened was, I think the next week or the next day, since he bought all of the stickers.
He had control.
He had the control. And then everyone else started using different currency.
That's
and then
rough.
Shit didn't matter anymore. So he has all of these stickers, but no value.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're forced to use that one currency and humans start, I mean, getting smart and using a separate one, what's stopping us from overthrowing it? Other than, of course, like the rich that will make it difficult.
Because if you really take it in, this is kind of like a crazy thing to think about. But if you really take it in, what is money? Money is just an object we trade.
It's just an object.
It has value, sure.
Yeah.
But money is the same thing as like, let's say I call this stick and I say it's worth $50. Let's just say, right? Now, everybody has to believe this is worth $50. But I give it to you. You have $50 now. Yeah. But let's say the value changes.
Yeah.
And it's not worth anything anymore. Then it's useless. Just like a dollar would be. Like if no one's using dollars anymore, how much is a dollar worth?
Nothing really. It's just a piece of metal. But I think everything that's an asset at least will have value regardless of what it is. I mean, that's just how money works.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
But I don't think I see the dollar ever really going out
in our lifetime.
In our lifetime, I think Bitcoin's gonna be a big battle because there's so many powerful voices on either sides, like really going at it. A bunch of lawsuits even. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll be alive to see it. Honestly.
Never know, bro.
I think it's gonna be a year's worth of battles.
Who knows? Like let's say this fucking New World Order shit is real and then all the big reps are like, oh, did you hear about the theory with did you hear about the Great Reset theory?
No, the Great Reset. Tell me. By the way,
bro,
when he says, did you hear about that theory? This is like a fan moment in me. To have it said directly to my face is different. I'm telling you.
Okay. This one's crazy. Like, there's some real news articles on this shit. Mm-hmm.
The Reset.
It's called the Great Reset.
The Great Reset.
Okay. So the theory of the Great Reset is that what they're going to do, those people that don't take the vaccine for COVID, they're going to offer them to take away their debt, a great reset, because the world is in a lot of debt right now, with stimulus checks, with the government paying off, for businesses that are drowning.
Yeah,
the economy's to shit right now, right? Mm-hmm. So I forgot who it was. It was like a big leader. They came together and then they said, "What we're gonna do? We're gonna create this thing called the Great Reset, and we're pretty much gonna forgive all the debt as long as everybody takes this vaccine."
Oh, so it's if they do take the vaccine.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you said if you don't take it, you get your debts covered.
No. Yeah. If you take it, then you'll be able to forgive your debt. But if you don't take it, they're going to put you in these camps.
Wow. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
They could technically say that, if you're not vaccinated, you're in danger. Go to this camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people would be on that side because they don't want to catch COVID.
Nobody wants that, right?
Nah. I could definitely see people alienating themselves from like even people in camps. Like
now, let's say this shit happens.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes so much
sense. It makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
If you're trying to control the world, that's how you control the world.
Yeah. Well, they said even with the vaccinations, they're going to put chips in it and stuff.
Like, that's what, yeah.
I don't know what to believe.
I know.
I don't know what to believe. It's like in such a digital age, you have so much information thrown at you that it actually becomes stressful to think about, like, do I want to take this vaccine? Do I not want to take it? And I think I would, but I don't know. It's sketchy.
Like, how do you know what's real anymore?
You don't, because you have so much nonsense thrown around and the truth is just in that pile. It's like finding a needle in a haystack at this point.
Because it's like there's so much fake news. Mm-hmm. There's so many people jumping to conclusions and shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, I myself don't even know what to believe in anymore.
No, I don't either. That's why it's...
Because it's not like a new thing that the government's lying to us. That's not like a new thing.
It's just that they're getting exposed now when they do. Or like when it's very evident, when people pull up facts. Mm-hmm. They get exposed and they can't hide from it. Whereas like back in the day, I mean, even before cameras, you could just kill someone. You can get them knocked off and no one would have footage. But now everyone walks around with cameras.
Yeah.
If you try anything, mm-hmm. there's a chance that it's on video.
Exactly. Even everything's corner, recorded.
Everything's recorded. Like, and unless you have the power to like get that tape completely crunched, there's like, it's a very slim chance that you can control media.
And they keep that shit secret. They keep that shit on locks.
Well, did you see the, I think not Area 51, the American government released UFO documents or videos of UFOs, and they hid information like deep down, expecting everyone to be like turned off by the amount of wording, like the amount of words in the actual document. And they had like just little things, like little cryptic messages, I believe, that people are still trying to like figure out right now. But they even released that footage of the UFO, which is just an unidentified flying object. Doesn't mean it was an alien. It just means they don't know what was flying.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They could which be like a fucking balloon.
Which is why people like release footage. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know if it was a bird, if it was just a cloud, like... It's unidentified. There's your UFO.
Yeah, bro. There's so much shit they won't tell us. So.
Yeah. Well, I think on one episode, you talked about a green thing floating in the sky.
Yeah.
Green light. My mom actually saw that.
Oh, your mom saw that?
My mom saw that. And she didn't see the clip, but when you brought it up, I have to talk to her about this.
Yeah.
She saw it, and I think she even took a video. She still talks about it to this day, where she saw a green light.
Damn, that's the same shit I saw, bro.
I think a lot of people saw it. I never saw it, but she saw it too. And I think I heard my dad always saying, like, my dad saying it was a drone.
Yeah.
She's saying, no, it was something different. But I think you bring a...
Aliens are real, bro. I'm telling you. Like, low-key, I know I sound crazy and shit sometimes, but one thing is, like, aliens. Like, I guarantee you there's shit out there that they're watching.
Yeah. I believe in mostly anything until it's proven wrong. And how are you going to prove that aliens don't exist?
Yeah.
How are you going to prove that ghosts don't exist? Yeah. Like, there's no proof on either sides.
Exactly, bro.
It's just... being a human, man, you gotta question things.
Exactly.
Especially now.
Yeah, bro, there's literally so many secrets in the world that people haven't like dug into.
Definitely.
Like, have you heard about like the Vatican archives and shit?
I haven't, but I've seen the Vatican, at least like in its physical form, it looks crazy. It looks
you
like
went there
holding something? No, I just online.
Oh, okay.
I actually did a project on it in like grade 7. That's how I
learned. So, bro, there's like, there's crazy theories about the Vatican, and one of the theories is that they have information there like that kind of abolishes the religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like secrets that I forgot who exactly it was, but it was like a saint, and he pretty much like in communication with the king at the time,
right?
And he was pretty much telling the king exactly the bloodline of Jesus Christ,
right?
And if Jesus Christ was real.
Yeah, well, on the topic of Jesus Christ, I was actually doing a lot of research on this recently.
Yeah,
he has before I even say that, Joe Rogan mentioned on his podcast that Jesus Christ was like a mushroom, a psychedelic mushroom.
Yeah, I heard
and
about
people
that
got upset with him, but when you really look into it, I don't think he was a mushroom. But there are certain stories in the Bible, like he was with the Israelites or his disciples one night, and they said the next day they were going to go on a hunt for manna, which is something that you eat.
It's the something that grows.
It grows.
It grows like right away.
It grows in a bulb and it has no seed. It's seedless.
Mm-hmm.
So what else grows without a seed, without a visible seed?
Fungus, mushroom.
Fungus. It grows. It starts with a spore, which is invisible to the human eye.
Yeah.
So it's speculated that they were looking at this, and it also grows on like dung, on feces.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that they would prepare this manna or like bread with feces. You're not going to eat like toast and shit.
Yeah.
So the mushroom was the manna that grew on the feces.
That's crazy. Cause this shit's in the Bible, bro.
Yeah. And, what psilocybin is an entheogen, which directly translates to, I think, something about divine inside or finding divinity inside yourself. Mm. So, when you're actually using the substance, you can have these hallucinations where you'll actually feel like there's a God inside of you, right? So, and you can say a lot of the morals that were in the Bible are based off of what they learned off of mushrooms. Because who's going to tell them right from wrong back in the day when robbery wasn't entirely illegal? Like certain things that we shun now aren't specifically morally wrong.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like let's say I'm not knocking on any religion. Like,
no, not at all.
Nothing like that. But let's say before religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say before Catholicism was a thing, Christianity was a thing, right? Who did they follow? Or like what beliefs did they follow? Or how did they come up with these things, right?
Yeah. And as they come up with these things, they write them in what we call the Bible now.
Yeah.
Any religion, Bible, the Quran. And it's changed over time based on who's in power.
Exactly. It's changed rewritten. So much. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing that stays the same and kind of relates back to the psychedelics is cows. I think in Hinduism, Jainism, a couple religions, cows are like so sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they produce the best like fecal matter for mushrooms
to grow. Oh shit, that's so crazy. I just realized that.
They always worship the cows because what do you need?
Nah, that's crazy. Manure.
So when it comes to it, they're like, oh my gosh, these cows are like the breeding center for
bro, that's so true. Because psilocybin mushrooms grow off of cow feces.
Best off of cow feces. And what can you find when you see cows just shitting?
Nah, that's so crazy.
Here's another thing. So you guys talked about Santa and Christmas.
Yeah.
Relating to mushrooms.
Yeah.
So there was another theory, not even a theory. I believe this is actually what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced. So with Easter, when mushrooms grow, they start in this bulb shape, which is called an egg.
Yeah.
All right. And they grow in certain seasons very well. Mm-hmm. So around Easter time, these bulbs would be popping out of the ground.
Yeah.
And of course their term is egg. So people would go on egg hunts during these times and they'd bring them home. And that's just basically
where Easter egg hunting
from. I believe so. Cause there are actually stories of it. Like hunting for mushrooms. You're looking for eggs. That's what they called them.
Bro, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because remember, I think in the RG episode, I was talking about like, where did Easter come from? Where did these eggs come from?
Well, they say that the Easter bunny was just thrown in for commercial purposes. They needed something for marketing, right?
Mm-hmm. But the egg part.
Yeah. Because when mushrooms grow, they start.
Yeah, that's like...
It's the actual term. And then another thing with it, if you're looking back at items that were very highly valued, chalices, gold chalices.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think they got that from?
Gold chalices.
I mean, they come from mushrooms, if you really look back at it. So the mushroom has the stem and the veil. And when it's in its early phase,
shit.
It's like an umbrella. But as it grows older, it'll flip the other way.
Like the cup shape.
And it catches water. And what people would do... is they'd use this water because it's sitting on the mushroom for so long that some of the psychoactive substance is in the water. So they'd go and they'd drink from these mushrooms.
Yo, that's crazy, bro. That's crazy. You got some good theories, fam.
I mean, I love to research this stuff. I think psychedelics in general are really interesting.
Yeah, because I feel like there's a lot of connections with like psychedelics and religion, to be honest.
Even coming back to evolution, like how do you think we got to the consciousness we're at?
Yeah, bro.
Because they say we came from monkeys. It could be possible, but like what happens when a monkey eats a mushroom? When animals eat mushrooms, they do some weird stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe even like progressive in their case.
Yeah, just like the stone ape theory, which I talked about before, right? That's on the Sophia episode, if you guys want to watch that.
That was dope.
Yeah, okay. So you ever hear about the theory of the burning bush with Moses? Yeah.
Well, I mean, burning bush, when I hear it, I think just someone smoking.
You're
burning a bush.
So what scientists believe was the bush that was burning in front of Moses was actually called the acacia bush.
Okay.
And the acacia bush is highly potent in DMT, dimethyltryptamine.
Yeah, and then he saw God on the top of the mountain, right?
Yeah.
Or something spoke to him.
No, he saw like a vision of like God.
I can see how that would do that to you.
Right? And it talked to him.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
If you look at like the Bible is pretty much a story, right? Stories and pretty much experiences that people wrote down.
Yeah.
Now, in what they wrote down, they can't exactly say scientifically what happened.
Yeah.
Even back then, because they didn't know exactly what was happening.
They were just documenting.
Yeah, they're just documenting what they felt.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I'm not bashing the Bible at all. They have some good teachings.
For sure. 100%.
The messages are there. Just some of the stories are kind of hard to believe. But if you take this like mushroom look on things.
Yeah.
If they were tripping, seeing Jesus walk on water, seeing the Red Sea split, it can happen. If you're on the right substance, bro. Right?
Yeah.
And the book is trippy. If you look back at it,
I know.
If you're preaching something, it's much easier to take in information under these substances.
Mm-hmm.
So when the disciples were taking these mushrooms or this manna, they were getting these readings and they were really like internalizing them.
Mm.
And that's kind of brought forth onto the new age of churches where you have preachers giving messages. And as they're preaching, what are they doing? They're walking down the aisles with incense and something burning.
Oh,
I don't
know
if it's specifically incense, but it is an offspring of salvia.
Oh yeah, I heard of that. It's sage, right?
It's sage. So sage is directly related to salvia.
Yeah.
Now this form of salvia won't make you trip, allegedly.
Yeah, it's not yet.
But it does have a psychoactive effect, even in a minimal form. And they were thinking that earlier in the days, because of course with regulations you can't just be drugging people.
Yeah.
But before these regulations came out, maybe they were giving.
They were people, using real salvia.
Yeah.
And then when they're doing that, they're tripping the whole.
Yeah, they're tripping the whole place out. I would tell this story because it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
When I did my communion, so you know how you all go to the church, you sit with your like however many students are in your class.
Yeah.
So we're filling up the church and we're all sitting there. The priest is giving his preachings, I guess.
Yeah.
And behind him, there's a wall where the holy water is behind and whatnot. And there's smoke coming up. So all the kids are looking around. We're like, is that Jesus? Like, coming up, there's smoke. And for 5 minutes, everyone's just staring in awe. And this priest is still going. Like, he doesn't know there's smoke behind him.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's like, at this point, we're like freaking out. Like, the Holy Spirit.
What is that? Yeah.
And at this moment, like, I wasn't a firm believer in God. But in that moment, I'm like, oh, he exists.
Yeah.
And then some dude in the back, he yells at me, he's like, I think there's a fire in the back. And they all run around, put it out. Everyone was so bummed after that.
There's a fire?
It was a fire. I don't know how it caught on fire, but it had everyone believing.
Yeah. Personally, I do believe in God. I believe there's a higher being looking down on us.
I believe there's an energy. I wouldn't call it God in my case. But I would never bash someone that believes.
Because it's all up to the individual's beliefs, like what you want to take from what you see.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And that's exactly what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
What you wish to believe is what you're gonna receive.
Well, they can give you the keys. They can't tell you how to open the door.
Exactly. They can give you the keys. They can tell you how to live. Yeah. All of these messages, the kind of like guideline.
Yeah.
But it's really up to you. Whether you're going to choose which path you're going to take.
You take them as like very well-written suggestions in a sense, but they're worthwhile. Honestly.
Yeah. 100%.
I believe like all the teachings, 10 commandments, you can take them kind of out of their original uses. Like of course, being gay, I don't think that's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think some of their teachings are wrong, especially in today's society. So if you take those with a grain of salt, I think the teachings are 100% there.
Yeah. Because even back then, the mindset of society before, or like the idea of society, it changed.
Yeah.
Right. It definitely changed. And as we change, I guess it kind of does have to change itself. And that's why you see like the Pope always adding new things in.
Yeah.
Like always adjusting to what the original saying was, the original scripture was.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Over time, like people are in charge of changing these teachings.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say down the line 1,000 years that we were specifically right? Because I know there's definitely things that we're doing now that aren't the correct way of doing things.
I know, bro.
Who knows? I mean, if you had the chance to add something to the Bible or like give people a way of living, what would you add?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think I'm that wise enough, especially at my age, to really say something that's not already written.
Yeah, I'd give the same answer.
But instead of me saying I would add something, I would say instead of just taking everything exactly how it is to try to decipher it for yourself.
Yeah.
Because I kind of believe like in anything we take, let's say whether it be a social media post, whether it be a book we read, right? Scripture. Instead of just taking exactly how it is, try to understand like why did that person write it?
Yeah.
What were they thinking when they wrote it?
Yeah.
And try to take in what is the message and do I want to proceed with it? Like what will I take with me?
Exactly.
Right?
That's a great answer. I honestly don't know what I would have added.
Yeah.
Like I threw that at you, but firstly, I don't know what I would tell people. I think I could kind of advocate for certain commandments.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'm wise enough to tell people how to live.
Mm-hmm. So you dabble with psychedelics, right?
I have in the past.
Yeah. So do you think, this is what I personally believe,
right?
Do you think psychedelics are going to reach a point where it becomes regular, just like marijuana use?
They are trying to legalize them in some states in America. I think in Canada they're attempting to as well.
Yeah.
But they've used it for stuff like cancer research.
Yeah, they have.
They use it on cancer patients when they were like having these fears of what happens after death, or just, I mean, having cancer is not a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
I think about 80% of them actually reported that it was beneficial. They lost their fear of death. They lost their fear of like losing to this disease, right?
I know you get a sense of like, this isn't the end.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, if you've ever had ego death, it's almost that at that point of surrendering, as overwhelming as it is, when you fully surrendered, it's not scary. If you played the visuals you have from an ego death to someone like regularly, they'd be like, oh, that's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the moment, it's like you're reduced.
It's like a lesson. It's like a lesson learned. Yeah.
Anytime I've ever tripped, I've always had a beneficial outcome. Even when in the moment I'm like, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
At the end, you can always find the message. And sometimes it comes like 5 months later. Almost in a deja vu.
Word.
Like you see something and you're like, wow, that's what it meant.
You took it back with you and like, oh, I see it now.
Well, yeah. You remember these things. They're so significant. Like the last time I tripped, the one thing I saw that really stood out to me, I don't know why I thought about this.
Yeah.
But I was closing my eyes and I could see this like porcelain tiger running around.
Word.
I don't know what it means. I have no clue.
But porcelain tiger. Yeah.
Like a fine China tiger.
Yeah.
Running around. And it's random, right?
That's interesting.
I don't think about tigers. I don't think China. But the fact that it was in my head, I feel like there's something significant about it.
Mm. And it's all up to perception too. Like
it is.
Someone's experience could be different from another's. Uh-huh. And then they can take a message with them. And then they can believe something completely different. Yeah. I mean, like you'll see that let's say porcelain tiger. Mm-hmm. Another person may see that as, whoa, I have to find out what this is, blah, blah, blah. And then they start worshiping it, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, depends on the person, depends on like how they take it.
I think that's how religion even started. Bringing it back to that.
That's how it's tying in, right?
Yeah. Well, if you're getting this person that's seen these things and it makes sense to you, if they're coming back being like, whoa, we shouldn't kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you see that person was in pain when you killed them? Maybe we shouldn't do this. And everyone snaps in their head. They're like, oh, this, yo, facts. I'm going to follow this guy. He knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think psychedelics form a lot of things. Even comes down to like music you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
The new sound is all made by people tripping.
I believe that, bro. I believe that.
It's not even that you have to believe it or they're on some kind of substance.
Yeah.
Some
like you can sense it. Like you can tell with especially rappers, like you can see with the art. Yeah,
sometimes like certain rappers they use like Percocets or something.
Yeah,
and I think it sounds cool, but if you look at it, it's like a destructive way to make music.
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll never bash them for it, whatever works, but I think in the long run, it's bad to do. But the people making songs on acid, on shrooms, they're really like generating that new sound.
In my opinion, I believe like for the destructive substances, they should really take in like what people are hearing and what people might take from it, right?
Yeah.
Because those type of substances, those let's say Percocets, painkillers and codeine shit, type. Codeine, that type of shit, they're not going to take anything with them from it.
No.
It's literally just going to... It's literally like disastrous. Like
it's a physical decline.
Yeah.
They're going up in money and views, but like physically your body's your temple. You got to take care of
it. And then you look at Lil Peep, RIP Lil Peep, RIP
Juice World. Yeah. It's sad. And
I mean,
it's like they gave up their life at what cost, you know? It may be fun in the moment, but you definitely start to feel it.
And then you look at the other side of that and you see like psychedelic drugs, like even back in the 80s, back in the 70s, back in the 60s, those bands like the rock bands back in the day,
Grateful Dead, Pink Floyd,
all of these bands, like they were on, it's like they preach for that.
They made
even the Beatles.
Oh, the Beatles music, you hear it.
Yeah.
There's a difference when you're listening to music sober versus when you're on a psychedelic.
Mm-hmm.
You hear everything that they intend for you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Psychedelics, you hear the nuances. You might even like see visuals that really help guide it. Like I think one time I was listening to Skywalker, which is unreleased, it's by my friend, but his production, he made the 808 like start in the back of your headphones and move up to the front.
Oh, that's it.
And I really felt that.
Yeah,
but it's like until you're in that spot, you might not even notice these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not an advocate for mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Like of course take them at your own risk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an advocate for safely doing them.
Yeah,
but I don't want to encourage anyone to.
I think eventually what's gonna happen is the stigma of, oh, you take psychedelics, you're a crackhead, blah, blah, blah. Like that stigma is gonna change.
Well, that's what it used to be when I was, I think, I don't know, it might have been grade 10 or 11.
Yeah.
I did them. And I guess people found out and they're like looking at me like I was a crackhead. And they'd even be like, oh, are you tripping, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And now those same guys are asking me for advice.
Wow, yeah.
I'm like, bro, like, I have no hate for them in my heart.
But it just comes back. It's like, now you see what I mean.
It was annoying. It was like embarrassing to be like, damn, like I did that. Like people are making fun of me for it. But you really look back on it and these same people are the ones doing it now.
Because you know what it is? It's just society that puts like the stigma on it. Like, let's change how they view it. Because back in the day, remember when they have all those peace rallies, all of those things with love, peace, spread that, right?
Yeah.
Stop the war.
Yeah.
The hippie movement. Look at the hippies. You know what I mean?
I love the hippies.
Yeah, like they put such a bad stigma on the hippies. They put such a bad image on that shit.
Yeah.
But in reality, what were they really doing?
Nothing. They're free souls. It is like the least harmful way.
Yeah, to bro. Like honestly, they were so loving. Yeah. You know what I mean? They were so kind. Like, they weren't doing evil.
Yeah.
They were doing the least evil.
They were promoting
I guess, good.
No evil, nonviolence.
So tell me, why would the government, why would the higher ups that called the shots, why would they want to stop that shit?
I can't give you an exact answer, but I feel like having that like fear of authority in a sense, I guess stopping them. Because if you're promoting peace, who are you scared of?
Exactly.
You're promoting peace in such a large group.
Yeah. But yeah, you know what I really think it is too?
What?
I think it's because of the economy, bro.
Yeah. Oh, because they're not in charge of like making profits off these things, right?
Not only that, but let's say everybody's living sharing.
Yeah.
Everybody's living like you're my neighbor. Like we share together. We work together.
Yeah.
Right?
Communist.
Yeah. What is it going to be with money anymore? You're not going to want to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not going to want
to
like.
Well, it's like, I think you're trying to say you do less work. You know, if there's two people working, of course, the load is going to be distributed. I don't know. You explain to me what you're saying.
What I think is, let's say everybody's like a hippie. Mm-hmm. Let's say hippie, right?
What a good world.
Yeah. Let's say everybody's hippie. Like, we're not going to be jealous of each other. No. Like, trying to take each other's money. You
definitely
know what I mean?
Not.
I we're not worried about that shit. You're not going to be worried about that shit anymore. You're worried about your happiness. And that, I feel like that's what's missing in our society right now. That's what's missing kind of in the world, is we're prioritizing materialistic things rather than our own happiness. And at the end of the day, what's the most important to you? Your happiness? Your happiness or showing to others you have wealth? Showing to others, trying to prove something to someone else? Or your own happiness?
It's almost promoting a false happiness.
Exactly.
Because you're walking around with these expensive things and people look at it like, oh, this person's living life. But I don't think materialistic things give you happiness at all.
That's what I think too, bro. Like, I don't think.
Clothing wise, like, I know you're interested in sneakers and everything. Mm-hmm. But me personally, I have like two pairs of shoes that I wear, and everything I own is thrifted or like from local brands. I used to be a hype beast for like a couple of months, and I realized it was just so like destructive, at least on my bank account.
Yeah, it is. To be honest, the reason I take part in streetwear is just because I honestly believe I've been brainwashed. Like, well, they taught me they taught me to buy shit. They taught me like I need this shit to be cool, you know what I mean? It's like the marketing tactics they use, the marketing strategies, it really brainwashes people to believe that.
Yeah, but it's good that you see that, because you can probably take their tactics and flip it.
Yeah, exactly.
In another sense. But shoes like that, I don't know, the ones behind you with the with the leopard print, I think it is. Those are dope to me.
Yeah, the Ferris Bueller's.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, they're that's so fire. If you ever watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off,
that's one of my favorites.
This is literally his outfit with the leopard. The leopard vest.
I didn't even bag that.
The leather jacket.
Yeah.
And then like, it's the same colors.
See, that's awesome to me. Anything based on like film or movie or TV, music is super cool. Like, I'd like to buy something like that.
Yeah.
But I'd feel bad putting my money in that spot when I don't like have or as Jay-Z says, like, if you can't buy it twice, don't buy it at all. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of how I live in certain cases.
Because you have to look at like, if you're buying something, are you going to buy it for yourself, or are you buying it to prove something? You know what I mean?
No, of course. I think there has to be like a benefit to most purchases you make. The other day I was looking at like film props. Official film props from movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I came across like the sugar they used in Harry Potter. Oh, it was $600. And I'm telling my friend, Ali,
$600.
Like, yeah, but I'm like, imagine if I bought this, put it in a tea or a coffee, and like made a TikTok, like $600 sugar type. But that's just like the business.
It's dope,
envy.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, that's the dumbest thing I would have spent $600 on. But if you can make it back, and like, let's say you buy the stock of sugars, you buy like all three that are available, and people want to retry
what you did.
Like, you can make it back.
That's true.
That's
it
how
is
I
true.
See it.
Like, even sneaker collecting, like, you can invest in sneakers. Yeah. You can always sell that shit back.
I mean, these are an investment.
Yeah.
There's always going to be someone that wants what you have.
Low-key, they hold more value than some stocks.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
No, 100%.
Like, they appreciate more than some stocks.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If you don't wear them, or if you take good care of them, they will appreciate. And I mean, you choose like wisely with what you buy.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not just throwing your money because like, well, it came out, it's new. Like, you can see, you clearly choose.
I like anything I buy now. Maybe back in the day, I was so brainwashed. Like, you remember the Supreme era? Like, everyone's just buying shit for the hype.
Yeah.
Like, I was definitely in that field before, but my mind has changed over the years. I'm only buying things that I personally love, with, let's say, like a personal, like, sentimental kind of value. Like, One example is these. These are the Melvin Dunks, right?
I thought you custom made those.
Nah. So these are actually, Nike made these for a band called the Melvins. It says right here, the Melvins. Yeah. And they're like a rock band, right?
That's sick.
Now, what I really liked about these though, it reminds me of Kill Bill. That's my favorite movie.
When you
movie.
Posted it, I thought you made these based on Kill Bill.
Nah, but it reminded me just of Kill Bill.
Such an amazing movie.
Because it has like the Japanese word for, or Chinese word for blood.
Right, on the foot.
Yeah, and then look at it. Like it literally looks like Kill Bill.
Well, you have the katana too.
The katana's up there.
Right up there. When I saw you post on, I think it was Wico Studios, you had those shoes with the socks.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've never seen shoes like that. You don't like with what Nike releases, you rarely see them tamper with like dyeing fabrics like that. Mm-hmm. In my perspective.
Yeah. And especially things like a little bit more violent, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd see that today.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, how old are these?
These, I think they came out 2005.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I may be mistaken, but I think 2005.
They have to be before like the time of censorship.
Yeah. Like, and the people getting sensitive and shit.
Yeah. Well, I remember a time where, like, the internet was a wasteland, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, there of you go, course.
YouTube. Bro, I swear I've seen, like, ISIS beheadings on the most innocent videos.
Yeah, it's crazy.
When I'm a kid, I'm watching a video of, like, cats playing on YouTube, and then, boom, like, some nasty stuff comes up.
Or,
and it's random.
Remember you used to get the Rick Rolls?
I got one of those recently, bro. Actually, cheesy. That people are still doing it.
Still doing that?
I made a Minecraft server for Jet Light Digital.
Of course, on the Minecraft video.
The first thing someone sends into the Discord, I make the Discord, and it's like video of a cute dog, and I don't know this person, so I'm like, I'm gonna watch it, like respond to them, just to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I click on it, it's a Rick Roll. I'm like, really? In 2021, you're gonna do this to me? It was funny though. I definitely laughed because the stuff like that, you don't expect it. Like, I don't know if you've seen on TikTok the coconut malls.
Oh yeah, the coconut malls. Yeah, that's funny as
fuck. It makes me want to throw my phone, bro. I'll see something that I'm genuinely interested in, like, oh, 4'11" man dunks on 10-foot net. This guy is midway floating, and then you see coconut mall. I'm like,
you've been coconut mauled.
There's a pumpkin one that I don't like. That one.
I remember specifically like being like 7, 6 years old on like Club Penguin tutorials, how to get a free Club Penguin, and then
free money. Don't
want to give you up. Rick Roll, bro.
Oh my god, I used to love that song though. On vacation one time, there was karaoke, and that was the song I chose.
You sang that?
It's a beautiful song.
It is a good song. That's a good song.
Regardless of the joke that goes with it, I still enjoy the song. Mm-hmm. Like, I won't even be mad that you did it to me, because I'm just gonna listen to it. Joke's on you. Like, thank you.
Yo, I always look at the 80s, and a lot of the greatest shit ever came out in the 80s. Have you realized that?
I find that like the cycle that our culture goes in is going backwards.
Yeah.
Everything we do now is so far back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just going back to its roots. So yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Like, I look at the 80s and I see like, that was kind of the biggest cultural change in my opinion.
Yeah.
Cause you had, look, Michael Jackson came out.
Yeah.
Change pop.
Rest in peace, bro.
Change pop. Literally.
Yeah.
Look at all of the movies. Star Wars, bro, came out in the 80s.
I still need to watch those. I watched them as a kid, but like I was 6 or 7. I didn't retain any of the information, like only the stupid parts.
Like all of these 80 movies, like look at The Breakfast Club. You even had like those kind of like grungier type of films too.
No, definitely. But I don't think they were aiming to be grungy. That was just like the most they could do with the equipment. And now I think the biggest, like, not even money grab, because I think it's deserving of what it costs, is just nostalgia. Mm-hmm. If you sell nostalgia, you're like selling happiness in a sense.
Yeah, that's facts. That's facts.
And kids our age want to experience what went on in the 70s and 80s. They really like idolize people that are, I mean, even our generation, we're 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
We kind of grew up on the cusp of the digital age.
We did. Yeah. We're literally the gap. I mean, we're literally the bridge of the old and the new.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think recently someone's like holding a CD and they're like, oh, Jay, you don't know what this is. I'm like, like, I use those for a time. I used to burn, like, have movies burned on them. Like, I know what a CD is.
Yeah, I feel like we knew everything. 2000, yeah, like we kind of knew everything.
I got cut off. I'm sorry. But yeah, like CDs, record players.
Mm-hmm. Because in a sense, we're kind of like 90s kids, but we're not.
We're just on the edge.
Yeah, we're like just on the edge.
The final drops of 90s kids. I don't consider myself a 90s kid, but I definitely had like a lot of their lifestyle leak into mine for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even like growing up during those early 2000 years were good for me, because having so much technology around me now, it's definitely like I'm addicted to my phone.
I know, bro. Me too.
And I used to play like street hockey every day. I used to go outside every day, like with my friends. And as soon as like let's say Minecraft came out.
Oh man, that's really when it started for me too.
Yeah, Minecraft. I would actually get like bothered when my friends would ask me to go outside.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, I'm like, damn, like, wow.
I know.
It made me feel some type of way.
It's kind
of
sad now, right?
It's sad looking back, but I can't say I wasted my childhood.
Yeah, me too.
At certain points, I'd have these like breakthroughs. And I'm like, oh, I do need to go outside. You know, mm-hmm. I had a good childhood, regardless of what I was doing. But now kids now, like parents just throw phones in their hands.
I know. Right out of the womb, get a tablet.
Yeah, iPad. Baby starts crying. You don't give them a soother anymore, bro. Yeah, you put on Baby iPad. Shark. Like,
I know. When I have kids, I'm going to make sure, like, I don't give them technology until like 7.
Yeah, no, for sure.
6 years old.
Yeah.
When they can actually do shit that's productive too, you know?
Well, when I was a kid, I'd always look at my parents being like, okay, you've been on for a while, get off now. And I'd mm-hmm. like be like, what the hell? Like, why are you kicking me off? I'll never do this to my kids.
Yeah.
Now that I'm older, I'm like, I definitely would. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna just coconut my kids like every hour. Coconut mall. Anything they're doing, I'm gonna have it just drop on them.
But yeah, like, yeah, I just want my kids like when in the future to just play.
Yeah, those are the good times. Like, mm-hmm. have an imagination, go outside. Like, mm-hmm. the one thing I think about a lot when I think about child is just feeling the warmth of the sun on me.
Yeah, you know? Like a popsicle in your hand.
Just like, it's just the element that you feel.
Yeah.
And that like happiness that I don't think I'll ever feel again, that like youthful happiness, mm-hmm. you know, life is so different when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. Not that I can never be happy again, but there was like that, just that special feeling.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of reason why people go look back for nostalgia is because they're chasing those moments again.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, the 80s, something that a lot of people now can't directly relate to, but mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the time they wish they were in because of the lack of technology.
Yeah, the lack of technology. I think that's why too.
Yeah.
Look at the 80s where they didn't have like, let's say the internet promoting. No. I mean, their shit came out and it was promoted like through, let's say, radio.
Yeah.
I guess television commercials and shit, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't have like social media and shit. They weren't promoting shit like that. So if you take the Beatles and put them into like today's age, but like it was definitely a different music.
They're goated. Taste. They're still going to get like views now, but go into what you were saying.
Yeah. Let's say the Beatles came out in today's age. Mm-hmm. How much bigger do you think they would have been?
I don't know.
Because of social media.
I can't say though, because like it was a different sound at the time that was being consumed. So I think if you did throw the Beatles in like off rip before they had any like notoriety at all, mm-hmm. I don't know if they'd be doing the same numbers.
Yeah, like,
that's
true.
The sound has changed.
The sound has changed.
We don't look for indie music as much anymore. I think everyone separated themselves off into genres.
Yeah.
And it's like little niched markets, you know? That's why when Ryan Mad Season was making music with me, mm-hmm. he went the indie route.
Yeah.
And it's not even a scary thought, because people are thinking rap right now is mm-hmm. the way to go, but he has that like small area secured. Mm-hmm. People that want to hear indie music.
Right? And that's kind of like a sound that's gonna evolve. I see that sound like exploding.
It is. And he's played around, like he gets experimental.
Yeah.
You throw a little like weird sound here and there, mm-hmm. like people are gonna eat it up eventually.
Do you think hip hop's gonna always control from now on?
I mean, I think there's something in hip hop that just makes you happy.
Yeah.
Like 808s, it's just a party environment, you know? Mm-hmm. I think the most popular music will be whatever is played at events, whatever is played mm-hmm. when you're having the best times with your friends. So I think hip hop will hold it down for a while.
Yeah.
But like psychedelic music, hyper pop, still considered hip hop.
Yeah, yeah.
EDM kind of died out.
It died out. Remember that time like everyone was listening to Skrillex and shit?
Bro,
like,
I used to do that. And my mom would never let me go to these festivals.
Yeah, because they didn't.
Yeah, and as soon as they became popular, I'm like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I've had people be like, oh, come to Veld. I'm like, okay, I will, like for the fun of it, but I'm not like...
It's not the same.
I'm not as eager as they are. I don't know how they feel this excitement, like, oh, let's go to Veld.
You ever been to a rave though?
Indirectly. I shot photos for this like underground
event. True, yeah.
I'd consider it a rave.
I went to like a hardcore rave in Arizona.
Arizona.
Yeah, in Arizona.
How was that?
Man, they're crazy. They look fun.
I'm not bashing them.
They turn up though.
Yeah. No.
But like it's a crazy vibe, because I'm not the biggest fan of EDM.
Not me neither.
But when I was there, I was a fan. You know?
Yeah. No. Well, when I went to this event, I was just there like solely to take pictures, mm-hmm. and it was like kind of a punk crowd.
Yeah.
You know? Like I don't know. They're just very like punk. If you look back at punk bands and their audience, back in the days, this is exactly who was there. Mm-hmm. But the genres of the artists were not similar at all. You got from EDM to rock music to indie, mm-hmm. and when the EDM came around, it was this DJ that was deaf, so he can't hear. Sound, he can just hear frequencies and basses. Word. So he was just playing these random noises, random like 808's buzzes, and it, to me, it sounded amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But until you're like introduced to that, you never know, right? So it's different. It's different. Yeah, that's all I can say.
That is different still. Yeah. I feel like it's so hard to predict what's coming next.
It's hard in a sense, but you can see it on the come up if you really like dig deep.
Okay, but would you agree with me that
trends
they die so fast now?
Yeah, social media boosts them. It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like shooting a ball up. It comes down so quickly. Yeah,
it's so quickly now. Like before, a trend would hop off like maybe after a few months, but now it's even like a couple weeks.
Well, that's why I feel a lot of people like lose that trend that they're having. Like, I think a good example of someone who took their following and kept it going was Leitner. Mm-hmm. We both know Leitner. He got like his fame started on TikTok.
Yeah.
And he could have stayed on TikTok and his follower count dwindled down a little bit, like his audience dwindled down, but he took them to Twitch.
Mm.
He took them to a longer lasting platform. I think that was like a genius play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, like marketing and fame, social media influence is a game.
Mm-hmm. It depends how you want to play it.
You have to be a smart player.
You have to know what works and how are you gonna move in that.
It's not even really a gamble. Like people think you're going off on a whim. Like some people just shoot their shot and
they make it. Exactly. You know what's one of the biggest reasons I started this podcast though?
No, tell me.
This is gonna like, blow your mind, but like it's gonna like kind of see it differently.
I'm gonna get ready on the button.
All right, Wico Studios, right?
Yeah.
That was the main thing I was focused on. One thing I was always working on. That was my biggest thing. It was pretty much the podcast, but my only thing, right?
And it was a lot of physical work. I remember.
A lot of physical work. Now, when I was doing Wico Studios, I saw it as I'm making this product.
Yeah.
And I have to pay people to promote my shit. Mm-hmm. I have to pay influencers to promote my shit.
Right.
Now I'm like, how can I flip the script? How can I change it so that I don't have to pay these people? And I have a constant flow of attention coming in.
Right.
And I can still sell my product.
Yeah. I've seen you do it too. Both page and post.
This podcast.
Hold up. So I just took that in. But you've always had this like podcast personality. So it was like almost taking a skill.
Yeah, it's almost meant to be.
Yeah.
It was meant to be for me.
For sure. You're like a genuine person to talk to. And even I think in high school, we talked like very few times, but the times we did, it's like any of our conversations could be on podcasts.
Yeah, that's right. Like
you almost wish there was a camera following you around sometimes.
Yeah, bro.
Some of the conversations are great.
Man, I really wish I started the podcast like back in high school, because I had some conversations that were kind of like, it's kind of deep still.
Yeah, but I get, again, like when you hopped into the podcast scene, it was the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like if you changed anything, it might not have gone the same way. You might have gotten to the place you are now, but the growth was so drastic.
Yeah,
but it's, again, you played your cards right.
Yeah,
you came in smart. You did your research. Like we've had talks about certain things to grow stuff. Like
on some game shit, like with marketing. Like that's what I always study, is the marketing.
Bro. Yeah,
I always study like, what is my industry? What is my field? It's like a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to know like what plays are going to work. Yeah. Like how can you can improve your shot, how you can improve the layup, how you can move around somebody.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing in your industry. You just have to realize that.
Right.
Like let's say you're a rapper. You have to know what strategies work, what strategies don't. As a designer, you have to know, how can I make a design better? How can I come up with the best ideas at certain times? How can I like kind of plan ahead, right?
Exactly.
It's the exact same thing with marketing, bro.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, I think marketing is the most powerful.
No, it is. It is. There are times where like, even I'm thinking of ideas and I'm thinking I need to talk to Carlos about this because you've got marketing down to a T.
Respects, bro. Respects.
Not like, no, respects, bro. You got it up. You've taken the time, which a lot of people don't. This is like, even back to the first thing we talked about, starting a brand, take the time to learn, educate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are like jumping into the water, not knowing how to swim.
I know.
And they start drowning and they get out, but you're leaving, you're giving up on it, you know? So if you really take the time to do your research, I think it'll be a lot smoother of an entry.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a load off. At the end of the day, when you're running a business, at least in my opinion, you're just trying to make the most stressless moves, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's always a learning experience. Anything you do is a learning experience, right? Like there's going to be times where it may not have worked at first.
Yeah.
But from that, you realize what didn't work. Then you use what works.
Yeah.
Like you find out what does, what doesn't.
No, for sure. Right? And if you're losing money, I think in general, instead of getting discouraged, you really got to think like, what more can I do? What could I have done better? You know, to
exactly,
fix it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just... they take an L and they're like, all right, I'm gonna just hold it and try something else. But you see that L, you study the L.
Yeah, you study it. You have to.
You watch that L and you bend it into a W.
Yeah, exactly. Or you
try to. That L might just be an L.
Forever. I used to say this in high school. I'm like, we don't take L's, only delayed W's.
Hold on.
Shout out Bullet RC. I got them from Bullet RC.
They made that up?
No, he's a sneaker YouTuber.
Oh,
because he used to always take L's on like sneaker drops. Like, yeah, we don't take L's. We take delayed W's.
That's jokes, but it's so true though.
Yeah.
I think with anyone, they can make it if they put the time in. And I'm not even saying I made it. I made it in a small region, like, but yeah.
Everybody has the ability to do great.
Yeah.
Like it just takes them to realize it.
Yeah. And I'm on my second year now. It's not like this is my first month at it. Like,
yeah.
The recognition I get is because I've been at it for so long. Mm-hmm. And I didn't give up when, like, let's say I was switching the Jetlag University logo to the new logo. Mm-hmm. People wanted the Jetlag University. It's really hard to kind of feed your audience a different food at some points. They're going to want the same thing over and over, especially if that item's like the hyped item. Mm-hmm. But if you really like ease them into something else, they don't even want the old food anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like now I've tried to drop Jetlag University stuff. Right? I'd said like, yo, who wants this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Silence. Crickets. They want the new stuff, you know?
Cause it's always evolving. It's all, you change, the market changes too.
Yeah.
But and then you have to adapt. Which way are you going to do it?
You have to adapt, but you also have to like move at your own pace.
Exactly.
If you let your fans decide everything you do, then you're not going to move forwards. You know, you can take their word, but you can also try to show them something better.
Yeah. You have to find that balance, the perfect like marriage of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Cause they do make your business at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love anyone that supports me. Like I have so much love for you.
Yeah. No cap. Like that's what I pray every single night and I always thank you for the support I've received.
Yeah. And your audience is amazing. Like to the point where I'm not even involved in the business end of this podcast, but I'll still scroll through the comments.
Word.
I'll still look at the comments and just be like, wow, like these people are really showing love for you guys.
Yeah, they're like real. You guys are real ride or dies. And I love that.
Super like, real ride or dies. And like your comments are funny too. Some of you are jokes. Like,
some of y'all are comedians.
So funny. I mean, there's definitely going to be one comment on this that's like, oh, Gavin looks different here.
Yeah. As I say, Gavin's light skin now.
Gavin's light skin. Yo, Gavin. Yeah, I'm not Gavin, guys.
All right, but thanks for coming in, Jet.
No worries,
I appreciate you so much, bro.
Of course, I'm glad to be here.
You want to plug anything? Just talk in the camera. Go ahead.
I mean, you can check out Jetlag Digital. That's my brand. That's what I'm going to be working on for a little now. But other than that, I have nothing to plug. These guys are the best podcast so far, and they're on their way up. So,
thank you so much, Jet, for coming in. I'm gonna link all this shit in the bio so you guys can check them out. Thank you for watching Jumpers Jump. Out.
Easy, guys.